Finding your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 13. Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 13. They read like this. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You seized me and prevailed. I am a laughingstock all the time. Everyone ridicules me. But whenever I speak, I cry out. I proclaim violence and destruction because the word of the Lord has become for me constant disgrace and derision. If I say I won't mention him or speak any longer in his name, his message becomes a fire burning in my heart, shut up in my bones. I become tired of holding it in, and I cannot prevail. For I have heard the gossip of many people. Terror is on every side. Report him. Let's report him. Everyone I trusted watches for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived so that we might prevail against him and take our vengeance on him. But the Lord is with me, like a violent warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. Since they have not succeeded, they will be utterly shamed, an everlasting humiliation that will never be forgotten. Lord of hosts, testing the righteous and seeing the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them. For I have presented my case to you. Now sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord, for he rescues the life of the needy from the hand of the evil people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Father, for your word. And I pray, Father, as we look at this message this morning, that you'd hide me behind the cross. May it be you and you alone, the one that sing. May we study your word with integrity. It is your Son Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Today's message is Rise Above Discouragement. The last couple of weeks, we have been looking at Jeremiah and some of the stories, if you will, through the life of Jeremiah and kind of working our way through it. But the first week, we looked at making excuses and how Jeremiah made excuses and how God shared with him, I'm going to fill you with my words and for you to go and to tell those to the people. Why? Because I love them. I want them to turn from their sin. I want them to repent and turn back to me. Jeremiah did not want to begin with, but God filled him with his presence, and Jeremiah obeyed and went in spite of the excuses that he had. Last week, we looked at having a heart broken for ministry and following God, being obedient to him, having our hearts broken to the point that we are getting ourselves out of the way, putting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ first, and when he shares and calls and leads for us to do something, we follow in obedience to him because we're broken, wanting a world around us, friend and foe, to know who Jesus is and that they can receive forgiveness of sins through the blood shed on the cross, through the death, burial, and the resurrection that we know as the gospel, the good news of what God has done for us. Today, we recognize discouragement. Now, that's not a popular topic that we look at. But I think today, as we look at discouragement, we will see through the life, some of the things that Jeremiah was able to do, that God worked in him, we will see during this that he was able to rise above discouragement because he trusted in God. I want to see in some scriptures here in this area of Jeremiah of how discouragement can cut a hole in our heart if we let it. But if we'll put our faith and our trust in our Lord and Savior, come what may, end of the story message, if we'll praise Him and worship Him through it all, we can rise above the discouragement. Because in this life, no matter what comes our way, our God is still sovereign. He is still in control. And through the death, burial, and resurrection, we can be a member of the blood-washed band. And we can bring honor and glory to His name, both now here. Jesus said, I have come that we may have life and may have it more abundantly. We can have it in heaven here upon earth. But also we look forward to the day that we're with our Lord and Savior and we'll leave this walk of life and the tears will be wiped away and the sorrows will be removed and all will be made well with our soul. We need to put discouragement aside and not allow it to derail us, to distract us, and to confuse us. So how can we move past it? How can we move forward? Because all too often when we face these discouragements, the first thing we want to do is throw in the towel, quit, and stop fighting, stop living, stop serving the plan that Jesus Christ has for us. You see, in the life of Jeremiah, he was serving God, and he all of a sudden now became discouraged. If you look at the very first of chapter 20, I'll give you a little short synopsis, if you will. A high priest named Pashur did not like the message that Jeremiah was giving. There in turn, he had Jeremiah beat, placed in the stocks to be in discomfort, to try to deter him from sharing the message of what God had given him to say. In this happenings that Pashur did, we see in this story, Pashur accomplished what he wanted to do. He brought discouragement to Jeremiah. Give you a little spoiler alert. But we see within these scriptures that we read, and we'll look at even further here in just a moment, when God calls people like He called Jeremiah, and we try to quench Him, if we're not disobedient still, there's this burning fire within us that we cannot contain. If you have surrendered to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're not sharing your faith, shame on you for not allowing that burning fire within you to come out and share that there's hope through Jesus Christ. Because we live in a world of a discouraged people looking for hope. And His name is Jesus. And we need to be sharing that gospel message, that gospel truth of how there's hope in the middle of life that is discouraging too often and on many different occasions. Jeremiah reminds us that even a faithful servant of God can become discouraged. However, Jeremiah lived above his feelings and fulfilled God's will. We too can rise above discouragement, but we have to be intentional about taking those actions. So the question I want us to ask this morning is, how can we move past it? How can we rise above discouragement? Number one, you're filling the blank, be honest. Be honest. Tell God how you feel. We see that in verse 7, exactly what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah 20, verse 7, "You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You seized me and prevailed. I am a laughingstock all the time. Everyone ridicules me." Jeremiah was honest. Jeremiah was honest towards to God. He felt deceived by God. The Hebrew word for this is patah, for deceived, which means enticed or seduced. Obviously, God does not mislead or trick His people. But these patterns of thought go through our minds on many occasions. We allow Satan that foothold, and he causes and allows that discouragement to take us away from where God truly wants for us to be. God does not mislead or confuse. He is the God of absolute truth. John 8:32 and 8:36, "The truth shall set you free, and when the truth sets you free, you shall be free indeed." There's no mistake, no reason for us to live inside of discouragement and allow Satan to get this foothold. Jeremiah was being honest with telling God that he felt ridiculed and offended. He felt as if, "God, I'm not making a difference." He was crying out for the people to repent, yet they continued toward destruction and judgment. How many of us have ever shared this same feeling that Jeremiah was going through? We felt all roads were dead end. We felt as if the path that we were going down, nothing was being accomplished. Nothing, no differences were made. We all have had those feelings. There's not a single person in this room that has not faced discouragement similar to, if not the same as, Jeremiah. Too many people, as I shared with you earlier, reach this point and they quit. I've heard of too many ministers, too many deacons, too many lay people, too many Sunday school teachers coming to a point and they say, I'm throwing in a towel, I've had enough. When you look and read God's Word, it never says when you reach this age, God will quit calling you to serve. In spite of our discouragements, God calls for us to continue to serve. Continue to share the hope of the message of who and what Jesus did for us. Instead of allowing discouragement to derail us. God wants for us to talk to Him. God wants for us to spend time with Him. God wants for us to show our anger, our being upset, and our frustration. God's a big God and He can handle it. A lot of dishonesty goes on in relationships, even with our relationship with God. But the truth of the matter is, in our dishonesty with God, He knows when we're not telling the truth. He knows exactly what we're facing. So do you know how discouraged Jeremiah was? Let's read Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 14 through 18, and we'll see. May the day that I was born be cursed. May the day my mother bore me never be blessed. May the man be cursed who brought the news to my father, saying, a male child is born to you, bringing him great joy. Let the man be like the cities the Lord demolished without compassion. Let him hear an outcry in the morning and a war cry in afternoon, because he didn't kill me in the womb, so that my mother might have been my grave, her womb eternally pregnant. Why did I come out of the womb to see only struggle and sorrow, to end my life in shame? Jeremiah was angry with God, and Jeremiah was discouraged. So we see in this story right here, the things that we face in our own lives, when we get discouraged, we're not alone. We're not the first. And if God so tarries, we will not be the last. When discouragement comes, be honest with God. He wants us to be honest with Him. He wants us to search His Word, to seek the truth, to find out exactly what's taking place. Remember, all discouragement usually is because we're living out of the truth. Remember, the truth sets us free. The truth does not hold us captive. The truth releases us from the bondage. And that's what Christ accomplished upon the cross. People even ask, is it all right to be angry with God? Anger is only an emotion. What do we do with what we do with our emotions? That's when it becomes a different story. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says this: be angry without sin. Ephesians 4, 27, as we've heard many a times, do not give Satan an opportunity. Why? Because he'll take it. In our anger, if it's self-centered, it is being in sin. In our anger, if it is Christ-centered, then it's not in sin. Paul to the church of Ephesus. Therefore, do not give Satan an opportunity and be angry in your sin. Do not sin because of your anger. Be honest. Be open. Be transparent before God. He already knows everything about you, and He already knows the truth. Allow yourself to live in honesty before God. If you feel anger towards God, you should tell Him, because He is big enough and strong enough to handle it. To bottle up anger, even anger towards God, never accomplishes anything good. To be dishonest clouds our relationship first with God and with others. Dishonesty, a lie, always requires another lie to cover up the previous lie, and it's a domino effect. But the truth never changes. The truth is always there. Be honest before God. The truth is that God knows the depths of our hearts before we ask Him. He knows our thoughts, our motives, our emotions, even before we speak. Honesty with God is the truth that sets us free. So be honest with God to move past our discouragement. Let Him know your concerns. And listen, prayer is a two-way street. Instead of speaking, we need to be willing to listen. That's why God gave two ears and one mouth. So we can be honest, but be ready and willing to listen to what God has to say, the instructions that He has to give, the direction that He calls for us to go in. And I didn't say it was easy. But if we're not in God's Word, we will not hear it. If we are not in God's Word, we will not hear it. Number two in your fill in the blanks, how can I rise above discouragement? Be obedient. Be obedient. Keep doing what you've been called to do. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9 says this: "If I say I won't mention Him or speak any longer in His name, His message becomes a fire burning in my heart, shut up in my bones. I become tired of holding it in, and I cannot prevail." Because of Pasher's unjust actions, Jeremiah was ready to let go of God and to forget the message that He sent him to do. He was ready to stop all conversations to the people because he was tired of being persecuted. There's not a person in this room that looks forward to being persecuted. But God did not say to give up in the middle of it. He said to keep going strong, keep being obedient, keep doing what God has instructed you to do. But we see very plainly this is what happened to Jeremiah. He wanted to hush. He wanted to stop. But the fire burned within him. He couldn't contain what God wanted to say. He couldn't hold it in. He had to let it come out. Because he knew that God called him and desired for him to be obedient. In the middle of his discouragement, he was honest. In the middle of his discouragement, he was being obedient to what God had called for him to do. How many times have I blamed God for our circumstances? Too many times. God is a sovereign God. God is in control. But God gives people opportunity to make decisions. When church is released, pray this does not happen, but somebody could pull out in front of another, and it's going to affect more than the person that pulled out in front of someone. If I pulled out in front of someone, it's going to affect me, yes. It's going to affect my family, my friends, my church family. It's going to affect the person I pulled out in front of, their family, their friends. Every choice, every decision, there's a reaction to every action. A cause and effect, if you will. This is what I feel like is being said here, or what takes place here in our lives, in these scriptures. For every choice, there is an opposing choice. For every decision, there is a consequence for sin. Hebrews 12:6. God made the statement in those scriptures that He disciplines those He loves. Every choice we make, there are consequences for our actions. And we need to be obedient what God has called for us to do. We must answer the call that God has already given for us to answer. Maybe we make the statement, "But I've already answered the call." Well, guess what? You continuously keep answering, keep following that call. It's not that you answer and go.
He said, you answer and listen while you go. You answer and listen while you go. It's a domino effect as well. You come back to the cross because we're sinners. Trusting Him. We obey Him and the directions and the steps that He calls for us to follow in. Do you know what it feels like to be in discouragement and outside of God's will? It's something like this. It feels like you have this the biggest secret to tell. Somebody has come up to you and they've told you, Johnny did so and so. What's the first natural reaction to when we hear this big, juicy secret? I can't wait to tell so and so. It's a secret. Why is it that in our lives we hear this secret? Well, we're ready to go and tell. We're supposed to keep it quiet. But God says, go and tell, and we act like it's a secret, and we hold it in. Because it's a heart condition that's not right before God. It's because our attitudes are not where God calls for us to be. Because our honesty is not where it needs to be. It's because our obedience has turned to disobedience. That's exactly what the problem is. We need to be obedient and let Him out. Let God's Word, God's message of hope out to the lives of other people that are in the middle of discouragement. And it may be us that's in the middle of discouragement. But we can be released if we'll just come to God. Be honest. Be obedient. Number three, and you're filling the blank. How can I rise above discouragement? Be watchful. Be watchful. Know that the Lord is with you. What greater comfort can we have other than knowing our Lord is with us? He will not leave us or forsake us. He is there with us by our side in the middle of all our discouragement. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 11, but the Lord is with me like a violent warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. Since they have not succeeded, they will be utterly shamed and everlasting humiliation that will never be forgotten. When times get tough, we can learn a lot from Jeremiah. He realized this. He was not alone. Oftentimes, it's exactly what we feel, the attitude that we have. I'm alone. Elijah, another Old Testament prophet, thought the same thing. God, I am the only one serving you. God said, no, you're not. I'm with you, but I've got 7,000 men who have not bailed to the prophet Baal. My remnant is there. You're not alone when you face discouragement. God is with you, and He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Oftentimes, the thing that takes place in discouragement, we look inward to our problems. We look inward to our frustrations. We look inward to our situation. However, we need to look outward and upwards because God has not abandoned us. He is with us. He accompanies us. Can you imagine the difference that it would make in your life and in my life, if we remain consciously aware that God is with us? Imagine going into a difficult meeting, knowing that God is with you. Imagine picturing yourself going into a stressful presentation, knowing that God is right beside you. Imagine confronting the status quo of people around you. Maybe they're not where they need to be. Knowing that God will give you the words to say. And you'll not show up anywhere that He has not already been. God is with us. Knowledge of God's presence can help us accomplish significant tasks, help us overcome all types of situations. But the thing that we're guilty of is we're not looking to see where God is at work. Because God is always at work. We need to be watchful God's help. Why? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be serious or be sober, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour.
If we're not on the outlook of God, where He's at, where He wants for us to be, Satan is ready to pounce and discourage us even more. Jeremiah knows his story here. Jeremiah shares he faced these struggles. He faced these difficulties. Here's what we're guilty of. Here's what Jeremiah for a season was guilty of. We're guilty of telling our God how big our problems are instead of telling our problems how big our God is. We need to be watchful of where God's at work and where He has a plan for Greg and for you and for each and every person in which He knows us by name. And He loves us, and His Son gave His life on the cross for you because He loved you. Be honest. Be obedient. Be watchful. Number four, and you fill in the blanks. How can I rise above discouragement? Be worshipful. Praise God with your whole heart. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 13. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for He rescues the life of the needy from the hand of the evil people. The most amazing thing that we see with Jeremiah is he is greatly discouraged. He tries to hold God back, but he cannot contain Him. And the end result is this. He recognizes how insignificant he is without Him, and he worships and praises God. Satan has no tool to derail us or distract us when we are worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we place Him first in our hearts and our lives, Satan cannot, the gates of hell cannot come against us. But we have to keep God in our worship and our center attitude and our actions. We have to be in worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, placing Him first in our heart and our lives. Jeremiah's despair turns to joy. His defeated attitude turns to triumph. His dismay turned to courage. The key to unlocking the door to victory was praise and worship. Praise and worship. This is the weapon that a Christian has that Satan cannot come against. Praise and worship is more than just acknowledging God for the good that comes our way. Praise and worship, too, is acknowledging and worshiping Him when we are in the middle of struggles and when we're in the middle of difficulties. If we neglect God in the middle of our struggles and difficulties, why do we want to look to Him when things are going well? God is God all the time, not some of the time. He is always there. He's not a part-time God. He's a full-time God, and He never rests. Loves us that much. Praise does four things real quick. Praise recognizes a provider. Praise takes our minds off our situation and focuses them on God. I can praise and worship God in the middle of all the deepest, worst struggle I've ever faced, knowing that there's a day coming, like we shared from Revelation 21 earlier, He'll wipe away every tear. He will remove the sorrows from our hearts and lives. And we will be with Him forever in worship of Him. But we start worshiping Him right here and right now. Praise recognizes a provider. Praise acknowledges a plan. God has a plan for each and every person in this room. God has a plan for each and every life that's ever breathed breath in their life. We can fight it or we can embrace it. That's our choice. God has a plan for you. You can fight it or you can embrace it. Number three, praise accepts the present. Praise is based on God's will for us right here and right now. What is it that God has called for you to do right here and right now? Who is it that God has called for you to share with that there's hope in the middle of their discouragement? Who are you this morning that is discouraged and walking down this path? Are you looking to God? Are you being honest? Are you being obedient? Are you being watchful? Are you being worshipful of who He is? Number four, praise releases the power. God's power and presence is near when we praise Him. The Bible says in James 4:8, submit to God and draw near to God, and then He will draw near to you. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. If we are all up in Satan's business, he's got us where he wants us. We need to resist him. In the name of Jesus, he'll flee from us. We need to submit to God. When we submit to him, he draws near to us. He does not force himself upon anyone. He wants for us to want him, to worship him, to spend time with him. In closing, let me share with you this little story. The devil put his tools up for sale. The tools were hatred, envy, jealousy, deceit, lying, and pride. All these were tools that he's used over the years, but they were not that well worn. Off kind of by itself was this tool that had, you could tell it had a lot of wear and tear on it. And it was marked discouragement. So Satan was asked the question, why is it you have this separated and why is it so much higher in cost than these others? So Satan says this, because when the person I cannot reach doesn't allow me in, I discourage them. And when I discourage them, it turns them away from God instead of them drawing closer to God. And when they turn away from God, I've got them right where I want them. Because then I can take these other tools and I can wreak havoc in their lives. And here's the key about it. Satan shared with the people that was asking about it. The people don't know that it's my tool that I'm using upon them. They're blaming God. They're blaming all their circumstances and situations and everybody else instead of blaming me. That's why this tool is so well used and so well worn, because the people don't recognize that I'm discouraging them to take them away from God. You may be here this morning. You've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You surrendered to Him and you're followed after Him, but something happened. I don't know what it is, but God does. And you became discouraged. And I don't want to serve there anymore. I was hurt. I don't want to be where that person is in the middle of that because it was just too tough, too difficult. I don't want to do it. God says, don't do it. Let me do it through you. You see, too often we're guilty of trying to do things on our own and ourselves, and when we forget that God is there with us. He's the one providing for us. He's the one that's going ahead of us. He's the one that's behind us, telling us to turn to the left or the right. He's the one that's within us when we surrender Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, lives in us as the Holy Spirit. It provides us for everything that we need. We need to just turn to Him. Right in the middle of our discouragement. So I'm going to be honest with God. I'm going to be obedient to God. And I'm going to be watchful because I know He's at work. And doggone it, I'm going to worship Him because He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He died on the cross for my sin and for yours. And I'm going to love Him because He first loved me. You may be here this morning, you've never surrendered to Jesus Christ, but you know what discouragement is. I want to tell you that there's hope found in Jesus. He says, cast all your cares upon me. Give me everything that you are and have, and let me carry it, because my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Let Him be the one that carries the load. But we have to surrender. Have to give it to Him. We have to have faith. He will do what He promised He would do. So if you're here this morning and either of those individuals are you, this altar's open. God's calling for you to come to Him, trust in Him.
Won't you come as we stand, as we sing hymn number? Won't you come?